of Conshohocken and their dealers take great pleasure in welcoming George Jessel and Norma Talmadge and their brilliant cast to Philadelphia. Sit back and enjoy yourself listening to 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel, starring Norma Talmadge, starring Josephine Starr, starring Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, starring Amy Arnell, starring Lee Tires. For smoother, easier, safer riding, use Lee's All Around. And so, merrily, we roll along.
George Jessel, Norma Talmadge, and their entire troupe of nomads arrive in Philadelphia to play at the Earl Theater.
Well, Norma, dear, here we are in Philadelphia, and it wasn't such a bad trip, was it?
Believe me, if I'd known you were going to make us come here from Washington on bicycles, I would have walked.
Now, nonsense, honey. It only took 6 hours, and besides, cycling is healthful.
Yes, and economical. I'm warning you from now on, George. If you make us go from here to Baltimore by pogo stick, I'm through.
Now, look. Don't worry about the future, honey. We don't go to Baltimore for 4 days yet. And now to you, my little company of fellow players, I say, let's face the present. Here we are in this beautiful city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, cradle of independence. The city that stands high in American history, a city whose glorious background is second only to that
of... Oh, George, ever since they let you into the Senate in Washington last week, you've been wired for sound. Vice President Garner gave you a cigar.
He did.
Colonel Halsey said this. Senator Barkley of Kentucky said that. Senator McAdoo said the other. And Senator Ham Lewis of Illinois said so-and-so. You've done nothing but make speeches. It's very tiresome.
Oh, I suppose it's relaxing to always hear you talking about your handsome leading men from the pictures. When I was with Eugene O'Brien, when Eddie Lowe hugged me, or Ronald Coleman, and that whole gang.
Well, they're all very handsome men.
Yeah, well, if that remark is aimed at me, it's uncalled for.
If nobody calls for it in 30 days, it's yours.
Is that so? I'd like to have you know that the year I met you, Norma Talmadge, I won a beauty contest and got a prize of $10.
That must have been the year the dollar went down to 60 cents.
Now, listen, you can't say anything about my friends in Washington. In fact, they told me if I'd have been in politics, I might have been another Bob Wagner or a Senator Ham Lewis. And they meant it.
They probably meant the ham part of it.
Well, I'm going to talk to little Josephine Starr. She's only 8 years old, but anxious to improve her mind. She listens to the pearls of verbiage that drip from my lips with her eyes wide open. Don't you, Josephine?
Wake up, Josephine. Mr. Jessel wants to talk to you.
Huh? Please excuse me. I fell asleep, Miss Talmadge, and I was dreaming Mr. Jessel was making a speech.
And what was Mr. Jessel saying?
I don't know. Even in my dream, I fell asleep.
Oh, now, Josephine. Josephine, my child, you listen to my speeches, don't you? But before you answer, remember who it is that sends the checks to your mother's every week. Now, listen. Do you like my speeches?
It's better than playing with a knife and cutting myself.
Oh. But now, child, tell us all. How do you like this city?
Oh, I think Washington is beautiful.
That was last week, Josephine. Now, where did I tell you the Declaration of Independence was signed? Come on now, think. Where was it signed?
On the bottom.
Now, Josephine, who told you to say that?
He did. He said it would get a big laugh.
Oh. Well, it didn't. Now, look, Josephine. You know where we are. Now, listen. Once there was a farmer, his name was Phil, and he was in a dell.
Oh, Philadelphia.
Ah, what a mind that child has. That's right. Philadelphia, one of the oldest and finest cities in the United States.
George, stop making speeches. Why don't you sit down for once and let somebody else introduce the first number?
All right, would you like to do it?
Oh, well, I've never done it before.
Well, why don't you try, dear? Go ahead. You insist upon getting into my business. I don't butt into yours. Go ahead. Be a mistress of ceremony. See how good you'll be in my business.
Well, I might not be good in your business, but I'll be better than you'd be playing Camille.
Oh, is that so? I might have made a good Camille. How's that for Camille?
That's not Camille. That's more like Schlemiel.
Oh. All right, dear. All right. Announce the first number. But if I may give you a bit of advice. Now, I know about this type of stuff because I've been making speeches. Well, I made my first speech here in Philadelphia when...
I know. When William Penn took the pipe away from the Indians and gave it to you.
All right. Take my advice, whatever you're going to say, dear, get right to the point. Budget everything you're going to say. Make one thing count. No parlays. You understand?
Very well. My dear listeners...
Now, Norma, you don't need that. If they're listening, they're listening. If not, you're talking to dead tubes, see?
Well, should I say, To the millions who are listening in?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd tell the truth about who's listening in. I'd say my dear two sisters. That's what I'd say.
At this time, we bring you a lovely girl with a lovely voice.
Well, I don't think you need to say that, dear. The people who are listening to the program know that I brought this whole company from the Pacific Coast. And if I'm spending railroad fare to bring people all that distance, they know I'm not going to put on some dope that can sing, you see? So you don't need that at all.
Then I can cut that out?
I would. Whatever you got to say, dear, keep punching all the time. The old life in there, see?
As I stand here broadcasting this program...
Norma, darling, you don't have to say that. The people who are listening are not interested whether you're standing or lying down, you see? They take it for granted that you're in some comfortable position and no pins are sticking you. You don't have to say... I'm broadcasting this. They know you're not in a beauty shop getting a permanent. Cut that out, dear. Cut it out.
All right. Well, anyway, folks, it behooves me...
What does it do to you?
It behooves me. Do you want to cut that out?
Not until I find out what it means, no.
Well, the lovely girl we now present will sing a song. And although you may have heard the song before...
Oh, honey, never say that. If they've heard it before, they'll know it when they hear it, you see? And if they haven't, it's brand new. That I would cut out altogether.
All right. Anyway, I'm very happy at this time.
Sweetheart, people who are listening in are doing so to be entertained. They're not involved with your personal emotions at the moment, you see? It happens that you're happy. Supposing you're unhappy, why should they be in the middle of the whole thing? Don't say that.
Well, maybe I should just say, Amy Arnell, sweet singer from Virginia, singing How'd You Like to Love Me?
That's right, nice and short, but you might add this. The song that she sings is pleasant to the ear. Only in Washington last week when I was in the Senate, I told Senator Barkley...
And my leading men were Eugene O'Brien, Edmund Lowe, Ronald Coleman...
Oh, sing, Amy, sing. Woo.
How'd you like to love me? How'd you like it? How'd you like to kiss me? How's about it? Could you kind of care? Could you learn to call to have my way? How'd you like to love me? On the level, how'd you like to miss me? Like the devil, would you be so kind as to keep me on your mind all day? I told my doctor, my lawyer, to see what they say. The moment they saw you, were they tickled pink? How'd you like to love me? And no other, how'd you like to drop in? Meet my mother, could you kind of care? Could you learn to thought you have my way? How'd you like it? As for me, I'd like it fine. Would you like to settle down in a little country town way down south? Down among the fields of cotton, where good friends are not forgotten, way down south. Could you promise to be true to a loving peer? Would you say I do, my dear, to a lonely mere? Oh, how'd you like to love me? How'd you like it? How'd you like to kiss me? How's about it? Could you kind of care? Could you learn to call to have my way? How'd you like it? As for me, I'd like it fine.
That was swell. That was swell, Amy. And now, company, listen. You're all my guests at dinner. I'm going to take you to a Romanian restaurant. It's owned by a Greek with a Chinese chef, and the food is delicious. Everybody come with me, get on your bicycles, and we'll go. And don't pedal too fast, or we'll pass the restaurant and land in Conshohocken or somewhere. Come on.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy.
All right, now listen, Tommy, Amy, Josephine, everybody, when we get to this place, I'll order for you, because Romanian restaurants are peculiar places. And they're very economical, too, because when you eat one full-course Romanian dinner, you don't have to eat again for 8 or 9 months.
Why?
Well, of course, you can't. You don't feel good. But anyway, when you get in, you'll notice that the bread is piled on the table 2 feet high. As soon as you can see who's sitting opposite you, they bring more bread. See?
What is the first course of the dinner?
Well, that'll be an appetizer. Now, you can have chopped eggs and onions or black radishes. But I advise you to take the chopped eggs and onions.
Why not the black radishes?
Well, I think they're old phonograph records chopped up. Well, anyway, here we are at the restaurant.
We made it in a page and a half.
I told you it was only a joke's throw from the studio. All right, everybody. All right. Let's take this big table over in the corner. Sit right down here. Josephine, Amy, you sit there, and we'll all sit down here at the table. There we are.
They don't pay very much attention to you here, do they?
Hey, Captain, who's waiting here?
You are.
Well, give us a little service, will you?
Service? With pleasure. A bunch of the boys was hooping it up in the Malamute Saloon.
All right, I asked for a little service, not Robert. Now, where's the boss here? Where's the
boss? He's eating.
Who waited on him?
He waited on himself. That's why he's eating.
Oh.
I'm as hungry as a big bad wolf. What would you suggest?
Well, three little pigs.
Listen, waiter, bring us an appetizer, some soup, and some nice roast chicken.
Say, if you ask me between the chicken and the boiled beef, I would take the boiled beef.
Well, I didn't ask you between anything, and I don't want boiled beef. I want chicken.
My, you're making a big mistake. The boiled beef is delicious. You could kiss it.
I don't care. I don't care. Bring us some chicken and never mind the boiled beef.
All right, but you're passing up a tasty piece of meat. That boiled beef. How about you, lady? A nice piece of boiled beef, yes?
No, thanks. I'll have chicken, too.
Okay. Two orders, boiled beef. Yeah, should be nice and tender.
Listen, I said I wanted chicken and you ordered boiled beef. What's the idea?
Take my word. You wouldn't be sorry. It's delicious.
I never heard of anything like this. Send the boss over here right away.
Now, don't get excited, dear.
Oh, well, I know.
Hello, Zussel. I am glad to see you.
Oh, well, listen, boss, that waiter of yours is crazy. I ordered roast chicken and he insisted I should take boiled beef. What's the idea?
Well, sport, what's the matter with the boiled beef? I'll wait on you myself, Jessel. Now, what do you like to have, the dollar dinner or the dollar 5 cents?
What's the 5 cents for?
Bicarbonate.
Oh. Tell me, is it a good dinner?
If it isn't a good dinner, I hope I almost dropped dead.
Okay.
Two blue plates for special customers.
Say, boss, why do you yell so loud?
The kitchen is in Baltimore.
Oh.
Here comes your chicken. Look at that piece of chicken. A pleasure. Taste it once. Taste it.
This chicken is awful tough.
You said it. No sissy chickens in this place. See you later, sport.
Miss Talmadge, can I have some of this at the top of the menu?
I'm afraid not, dear. That's what the orchestra's going to play. George, do you notice a strange aroma permeating the atmosphere? I wonder what it is.
Yeah, well, now let me handle it. I'll ask him in Romanian. He'll tell me what it is.
Since when do you speak Romanian?
Oh, for years and years. Say, boss.
Yes, Jussel, what it is?
Tell me, what smells here?
Business.
Oh, I thought so.
Oh, Mr. Jessel, I hate to interrupt your dinner, but I...
Yes, I see you have the autograph book ready.
You guessed it. I wonder if you could get me Miss Talmadge's autograph.
Well, I'm sure I can. Is that the only one you want?
Well, no. I'd also like to have that little child, if she's the one I heard so much about on your program.
That's the child, little Josephine Starr.
I'd love to have her sing a song here. Would she?
Well, I'm afraid you wouldn't have time, lady. We've already ordered our dinner.
Don't worry. I'm the proprietor's wife. You've got plenty of time.
All right. Josephine, sing for your soup. Go ahead.
Come trovi la tua fine. of the Lord.